John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, here's what the Bible says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. I've entitled my message tonight, Everything's All Right in My Father's House. You know, we sing a little chorus by that title, and we'll sing it at the end. I was thinking when I used this passage in the funeral on Tuesday about what these verses say, and so I thought I'd make it a Father's Day message tonight. But it's not only a Father's Day message, but it's a message I think that's appropriate for what's going on in our world today. We live in a troubled time, and I'm not telling you anything new when I say that, with the virus and what we've had to do to fight it, the economic impact of closing down the country almost, the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis back on May the 25th, and the protests, which were hijacked and turned into looting and destruction. The reaction of some that said, well, you know, we're going to blame every policeman for what happened, and we're going to defund and eliminate the police, and the debate that's happened after all of that. And then on top of all of that, it's, and I don't need to tell you this, you know this, should be praying about it, it's an election year. And so people are more on the edge because it's an election year with all the political back and forth. And if we get caught up in all of it, if we take our eyes off the one who walks with us, we take our eyes off the one that we have in our heart and get caught up, it's easy to be discouraged. It's easy to be dismayed. It's easy to think the world is coming to an end. What will I do if it does? And there's some that have even said, what's the use? Life isn't worth living like this. And many during this time have taken their own life. Then beside all of that that's going on in the world, there's some in our church family that have their own family trials and tribulations. I've talked to three different family units this week about different things that were going on. A couple of them were a relationship problem, and another one was a problem with some adult children. And so you add all that up with everything that's going on in the world and everything that's going on in their own particular families. I have a simple message tonight. I just want to be an encouragement to those of you that are here. I simply want to say, hey, everything's going to be all right. This night will pass. Morning will come. As the psalmist says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And everything's all right in our Father's house. Everything's all right in our Father's house. Now, when I say that, I know most of you think, well, he's talking about heaven. Well, I just want to remind you tonight that you are the tabernacle of God. God lives inside of every single one of us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence for every single one of us that have asked Jesus to be their Savior. And so when I say everything's all right in my Father's house, I'm not only talking about heaven, but I'm talking about you and I'm talking about me. As the Father's house tonight, as we consider, even though everything's going on in the world around us, even though we may have personal things that's going on in our life, everything's all right in my Father's house. Because, number one, the Father's there. The Father's there. In my Father's house, Jesus said in verse 1, what made it his Father's house? His Father was there. His Father was there. There's something secure and safe, relaxing, peaceful, just knowing that Daddy is there. Now, I know everyone didn't have a good dad. I hope you did. I hope you had a good dad. I had a good dad. I knew growing up that my dad loved me. I knew he would take care of me. I knew he would provide for me, and I knew that he would protect me. I can remember three specific times in my life when I got into something over my head. When I was a preteen and when I was a teenager. I could tell you, and I won't take the time to do it tonight, but I can remember three things where I got into something. My dad let me do it because he wanted me to learn. But all three of those times, he came to my rescue and helped me through it. I remember there was a lady friend of a lady at church, and she wanted some wallpaper stripped off her wall and some more wallpaper put on. Well, I'd help my dad take wallpaper off. It was no big deal. Well, this was wallpaper, not the pre-stuck kind, but the stuff that was put on with glue, and it was on a plaster, real plaster wall. I had never taken wallpaper off a wall like that. And I can remember I went over there and worked for 3 days and got about a third of it done. And I can remember my dad. Now, he had a couple jobs. And so he said, the only time I can help you is from midnight till 6 in the morning. You talk to that lady and see if I can come over. And she said, yes, I just want you to get done. And so that was one of the times. But he let me get into those things to let me learn, but he helped me work through them. I don't ever remember a time my dad let me down or disappointed me. Now, lest you think we always agreed on everything, we did not always agree. But I knew, even those times we didn't agree, I knew all my life that if I needed him, he would be there to help me, and he'd be glad to help me. Now, again, I know everybody didn't have a dad like that. And in fact, I talked to somebody this week that told me what was going on in their family, and he didn't have a dad like that. And I think it's a shame that the devil have gotten into our homes, and there's so many homes that exist in the world today without a dad. Without a dad. You see, God uses dads to picture our Heavenly Father. And when a dad messes up and is gone, it messes up the picture that God wants to paint for us of what our Heavenly Father is all about. Our Heavenly Father, our Daddy, or Abba, as the Bible calls him, loves us. He'll take care of us. He'll provide for us. He'll protect us. And the security and the safety and the peace that we can find in our Heavenly Father is a comfort, and just it should be a calming influence in our life regardless of what's going on in the world. Everything's all right in my Father's house up there and in my Father's house here because Daddy's there. His presence is there. Everything's all right in my Father's house, number two, because Jesus is there. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, if I prepare a place for you, I'll come again. So, and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So he's there. Jesus is in heaven, preparing a place for us, but he's also in heaven doing something else. The Bible says he's our advocate. Every time we mess up, Jesus stands before the Father as our advocate and says, Father, I know they messed up, but that's under the blood. I paid for that when I died on Calvary. I don't know if any of you had a brother like I had. I have two brothers, both younger. One of my brothers, and I won't tell you which one it is, just in case somebody, they come and visit, and you won't be able to go up to them and say, are you the brother that did that? But one of my brothers could not keep a secret. Could not keep a secret. I remember one time we were throwing a football around in the living room, and which was a no-no in our house, but we were doing it anyway. And we broke a china cup that my mother had sitting on a shelf in the living room. But fortunately, it broke in big pieces. So we got the super glue out, and we glued it back together. We set it back on the shelf, and I told my brother, now, if we just keep our mouth shut, nobody will ever know the difference. I mean, they don't drink tea in it. It's just set there as a decoration. I mean, you couldn't see the cracks. So just keep our mouth shut, and, you know, if they discover it, we'll confess it, but if they don't ever discover it, we won't ever have to confess it. Well, it wasn't a week later that my brother told my mother, who told my dad, who got the razor strop out and said, I'm not spanking you because you broke the cup. I'm spanking you because you disobeyed and then covered it up. If you had just come to us and said we had an accident and broken the cup, your punishment wouldn't be so bad. But because you disobeyed and then lied about it, said, Dad, we didn't. Well, yeah, you didn't tell the truth. You didn't tell the truth about it. And so if he would have just kept his mouth shut, I don't think they ever would have found out. Now, there was another time. I think I've told you this story before. We were kids. My grandparents, my mom's dad and mom, lived on the east side of Detroit. And they had a big backyard. It backed up to an alley. This was back in the day, you know, when they had alleys. People always put their garbage in the alleys back in the day. I don't know why we ever started putting our garbage in the front yard, so to speak. We ought to just keep the garbage in the alley where it belongs. But anyhow, behind their house, across the alley, was a five-story apartment building. Five stories. And in between the alley and that building, there were two big garbage bins. I mean, these things were 6 feet tall. They were made out of concrete. So one Sunday afternoon, we were in the backyard playing baseball. He was pitching. I was hitting. I hit a high fly, Brother Jack, a high, high fly. It was a hard ball. It bounced on the top of that garbage bin and went through the four-story window of that apartment building. My brother was watching the arc of the ball, saw it bounce and go through the window. When he turned around, I was already gone. He came running after me. I said, now look, I shouldn't probably be telling you these stories. You're not going to think very highly of me. I said, if we just keep our mouth shut, nobody will ever know it was us. We only come over here on Sunday, and it was every other Sunday that we came. Well, he could not keep his mouth shut the rest of the afternoon. He told my mother, who told my father, who said, let's go, boys, and we went over to the apartment building, up to the apartment, and we had to confess to the people. Of course, they had just gotten home. I think when we were going to knock on the door, they were just coming into the door. So we had to confess our sin. We actually went that afternoon and got a piece of glass, and Dad put it in the window to repair the window. And when we got home, the razor strop came out again. He said, I'm not spanking you because you broke the window. I'm spanking you because you tried to cover it up. My brother got less swats than I did that afternoon. And I could tell you other stories. Just let me simply say, he could never learn to keep his mouth shut. I want to tell you, in my father's house, I have a brother, not a younger brother, an elder brother. And he not only doesn't tell on me, every time I mess up, he says to Dad, I'll take the whooping. I took the whooping. I paid for the sins. There's something blessed about knowing that you have an elder brother that sticks up for you. The psalmist says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not transgressions. And he doesn't impute transgressions to our account because Jesus paid for all our transgressions before we ever committed the first one. He paid for all of them. And then number three, everything's all right, in my Father's house, because Jesus will be coming to get us soon. He'll be coming to get us soon. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye will be also. One of the families I was talking to this week was a lady in our church. They're going through a terrible time, and most of you don't know about it. There's some real health concerns, and there's some other things going to go through it. And I listened to her story, and I cried a little bit with her. And I said, now look, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why God... Kenny and I were talking before church. I don't understand why bad things happen to good people, and bad people seem to go through life without anything bad happening to them. I said, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why God is allowing it, but I know that He has a purpose and that He has a reason, and that you'll make it through. You'll make it. This night's going to end. The midnight darkness will pass, and everything's going to be all right. You just need to keep in mind that one of these days, Jesus is coming to get us. And He's going to take us out of this world. And all the trouble of this world, all the hardships of this world, all the heartache of this world, we're going to leave behind. And we're going to go to that place where there is no darkness. We're going to go to that place where there is no tears. We're going to go to that place where there is no separation. And we're going to live there forever and ever and ever with our Heavenly Father, with our elder brother, and with the Holy Spirit. And so we sing that little chorus. Sing it with me. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. It's going to be joy in heaven, but we can have joy here. Paul talked about joy unspeakable and full of glories, and the world doesn't understand it. It's joy that's not based on circumstance. It's joy that's based on a relationship. It's based on a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. As children of God, if we get stressed about things, we ought to just think about that little chorus, and we ought to just sing it. Everything's all right. Now, I remind you tonight, the only way you can get to the Father's house is come through Jesus. He said in that same chapter, John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And so, sing the next chorus with me. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. We're all sinners. There's a penalty for that sin, but our elder brother paid the price for our sin. Paid the price for every one of our sins, and if we'll ask Him, He'll save us. So if you're here tonight, I invite you to my Father's house. Sing the last chorus with me. Come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house, where there's joy, joy, joy. There's joy. There's joy. Because Daddy's there. Because our elder brother's there, and because one day He's coming to get us. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the blessed promises that are in these three little verses in John chapter 14. Thank You for being our Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus to die for us. And I do pray if there is, by chance, somebody here tonight that's never received Christ, I pray You'll help them see their sin and see the penalty for that sin and see the price that Jesus paid on Calvary. I think we're all Christians here tonight. I pray we'll never get over what Jesus did for us on Calvary. So great a salvation, so great, undeserved, but Father, so great to save us from all our sins and make us one of Your children. And so I pray for those that are here tonight, I pray for every member of our church as they go through this time that you've allowed to come into our world, as they endure specific things that are going on in their family. I pray, Father, that you'll remind them, that you'll remind them that regardless of what's going on, we can have that joy unspeakable and full of glory because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ and he's our Savior. I pray you'll bless this time of invitation. If there's something we need to do as a Christian, speak to our hearts and help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.